William Morrow and Harper Audio present Second Chances, A Marine, His Dog, and Finding Redemption by Craig Grossi. This is the author. For the Men of Maine State Prison. Chapter 1. Shawshank. April 11th, 2019. It's a sunny, warm, spring day in Maine, and I'm going to prison. Thankfully, I'm not alone. I've got my dog Fred with me, and unless something goes terribly wrong, we'll be walking out again in a few hours. For now, I'm in my faithful 1988 Land Cruiser, making the two-hour drive from our home to the state prison. It's not our first visit, but today we're heading up with a new purpose. I volunteered to teach a writing class to a group of incarcerated men, many of them veterans. Over the next year, I'll be meeting with the guys on a weekly basis to share writings and stories. We take Route 1 up the coast, watching the sun dance on the water as we pass through quaint coastal towns awaiting the summer tourist season. Fred's in the back, alternating between napping and surveying the passing scenery. On the seat next to me is the syllabus I've written with each of the different topics I'm planning to cover in class in the coming weeks. We continue on Route 1 for a little over 50 miles before making a right turn just after reaching the small town of Warren. The peaceful coastal scenery quickly transitions to rolling hills and farmland. In a field on the side of the road, a few men in white t-shirts and jeans spread hay with pitchforks. Our next turn is up a hill and into another world. You may have heard of Maine State Prison. This maximum security prison was the inspiration for the Stephen King novella Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption, which was made into an iconic film in 1994. Although the original Maine State Prison was built in 1824, it relocated to the town of Warren and into a modern building in 2002. Since then, under the guidance of prison warden Randy Liberty, his real name, it's grown to become one of the most unique prison environments in the country, known for its progressive programs that help prisoners prepare for life on the outside, if that's what's ahead of them, or help them deal with life on the inside, if that's where they'll remain. I crest the hill, and there it is, rising up out of the hard Maine earth, a complex of bright white concrete buildings that could be mistaken for a large high school if it weren't for the rows of razor wire fencing encircling the perimeter. It's a familiar sight to me by now. I've been a regular visitor to Maine State Prison for about a year, invited either as a guest speaker or to attend volunteer events. But this is my first time in any kind of official capacity. Part of me is excited about this new opportunity, and part of me is on edge. How will the guys who signed up for the course react to the syllabus I've put together for them? Will they engage with the topics I've suggested, or do they simply see this as a convenient way to spend time outside their cells? I quickly find a spot in the parking lot. Here, unlike other prisons I've visited, there's no gate or entry control point for vehicles. Fred hops out of the truck, and we walk together toward giant glass doors. I see the words Maine State Prison over the entrance and the state's coat of arms with its familiar pine tree and moose above. Inside, I sign into the logbook and a prison guard escorts me into the facility. We step outside, walking down the mile, a stretch of concrete that serves as the main thoroughfare for foot traffic around the prison. Looking across to the other side of the open yard, I see men in white t-shirts and jeans, kneeling beside beds of freshly tilled soil, working with their hands, growing vegetables for the prison kitchen. Soon enough, we approach the housing unit where the writing classes will be taking place. My middle-aged chaperone looks tired.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?